Radio Prague News.
Civic Democrats leader Mirek Topolánek has apologized to gays and Jews after making controversial remarks about two members of the government. Prime Minister Jan Fischer says he will keep communication with Mr. Topolánek to a minimum in the wake of the comments. And Britain's Prince Charles attended a church service and walked through Prague on the second day of a visit to the Czech Republic. The leader of the Civic Democrats, Mirek Topolánek, has apologized to homosexuals and Jews after making controversial remarks about two members of the government in an interview for the gay magazine Louis. When asked for adjectives he would use to describe gays, Mr. Topolánek said he had the feeling that Transport Minister Gustav Slanečka would back away if the going got really tough. He said Prime Minister Jan Fischer would do the same because he was Jewish. The chairman of the country's biggest right-wing party said he had contacted both men to explain his comments. Mr. Topolánek also apologized to Christians after saying during a photo shoot for Louis that the church had brainwashed people and made idiots of the masses. Prime Minister Jan Fischer has reacted angrily to the comments made by the Civic Democrats leader. In a statement issued on Sunday, he said they were, put diplomatically, insulting, stupid and devious. Mr. Fischer said he would in future keep contact with Mr. Topolánek to the minimum required to maintain a working relationship. He said he was aware of Mr. Topolánek's apology, but said it was not up to him to grant the latter absolution. Britain's Prince Charles has attended a service at a Prague church on the second day of a four-day visit to the Czech Republic. Sunday's service at St. Clement's Church, one of the oldest in the city, was conducted in English. Later, the Prince and his wife Camilla walked through the historic centre of the Czech capital. On Monday, the royal couple will fly to Moravia, where they'll visit an eco-village and Brno's Masaryk University, as well as meeting the Czech Prime Minister Jan Fischer in the capital. The heir to the British throne will end his stay on Tuesday with a meeting with former Czech President Václav Havel and a visit to Prague's English College Secondary School. Czech soldiers will be able to vote in general elections at a military base abroad for the first time this May, Czech television reported. Troops based in the Afghan province of Logar will be able to cast their ballots at a temporary consulate, which is being opened there by the Czech Ministry of Foreign Affairs at the start of next month. The weather now, we should see rain and some sunny spells over the coming days. Temperatures are expected to reach up to 14 degrees Celsius. My name is Ian Willoughby. You'll find more stories at radio.cz. But for now, that's the end of the news.
Hello and welcome to Weekend Programming here on Radio Prague. I'm Jan Vellinger. Coming up in today's show, we'll be answering your questions and referring to your comments in the latest edition of Mailbox. One of the questions has to do with the largest painting in the Czech Republic. Mailbox will then be followed by a letter from Prague, this week by Ian Willoughby. He'll be looking at the big thaw in the Czech capital and, some of the less than charming side effects. And be sure to stay tuned for another edition, our final one, in fact, of Music Profile, in which Jan Richter will be looking at Butte, one of the most original bands in Czech pop music. Well, let's get started then. As always, here's Pavla Horáková with Mailbox.
And welcome to Mailbox, Radio Prague's weekly platform for your questions and comments. And let's get straight to them. Stephen Bell from Canada responded to Monday's news bulletin.
I'm writing to congratulate the Prague Zoo on their latest wonderful addition from the animal kingdom of tortoises. It is very encouraging to read on Radio Prague's webpage about the Czech Republic's protection of endangered animals, foreign and domestic. I would also like to say my hopes go to the new golden eagles in their nest, which shall remain safe. I wish them success in reestablishing themselves with the watchful eyes of caring animal scientists and volunteers.
Linda Mary Hauptmann from the United States has this question.
I love reading your magazine section on weekends because it is an interesting look into Czech life. I often show off articles and pictures to share with friends what an interesting, unique country the Czech Republic truly is. One friend in particular was interested in the revolution statue by Jiří David, which is made up of 85,000 keys. My friend is a retired locksmith and a member of the Northwest Locksmiths Association here in Washington State. I told him about the statue and he wants to see a larger picture of it. My question is, are there any larger resolution pictures of it than the one which appeared in the magazine section? He wants to look on it as a professional locksmith and see how Mr. David did the work with all of the keys, which is why I hope someone can point out a larger picture of the artwork so my friend and his colleagues in the NWLA can examine and enjoy it.
You can certainly try the official website of the project. There you can find not only pictures of the unveiling of the statue, but also different steps in the making of the work of art. I hope the resolution is large enough. You can also find some more photos on Facebook, and both links are available in the transcript of this edition of Mailbox. Speaking of Facebook, you are very welcome to become a friend of Radio Prague on the social networking site. You can meet other listeners from all over the world there, and every day Radio Prague will post a link to the day's feature on your homepage. And from sculptures to paintings, Rassem Ben Brahim from Tunisia has this tricky question.
What is the largest painting in your country?
Finding a definite answer proved rather difficult, and I couldn't find a clear reference to one single largest painting. First, I thought of the Slavic Epic, a collection of 20 large-format canvases by the Art Nouveau painter Alphonse Mucha. The largest one has 8.1 meters in breadth and 6.1 meters in height. But even larger is a painting by the 19th century Czech artist Mikuláš Aleš titled The Killing of the Saxons, its size being 10 times 8.5 meters. I also thought of the curtain in Prague's National Theatre with some 140 square meters covered in oil paint. Then I found out about a wall painting in a Prague museum of fairy tales covering 600 square meters. Still larger is the diorama of the Battle of Lipany by the 19th century Czech painter Luděk Marold. It is 11 meters tall and 95 meters long, which makes the total area covered 1,045 square meters. The painted background is fitted with real objects such as weapons, rocks, carts and flags to give it a three-dimensional quality. And finally, a fresco in St. Nicholas Church in Prague's Malá Strana district, covering some 1,500 square meters, is said to be the largest Baroque fresco in Europe. I believe these are the largest paintings that can be seen in this country, but if you know of larger ones, please let me know at english@radio.cz. Which is also the address for your answers to our monthly quiz question. In this month's quiz, we are looking for the name of the physician and scholar of Slovak origin and Protestant faith who performed the first public autopsy in Prague in the year 1600. He was among the 27 Bohemian estates leaders executed on the Old Town Square in 1621. Your answers need to reach us by the end of March. Your questions, comments and reception reports are welcome at english@radio.cz or Radio Prague 12099 Prague. Until next week, happy listening.
Thank you, Pavla. And as always, if you have any questions or comments for us here at the station, don't forget it's easy to contact us. You can write to english@radio.cz or you can send us an old-fashioned letter to our street address. That's Radio Prague, Vinohradská 12, 12099, Prague to the Czech Republic. Be sure to write, and some of your comments, of course, will make it on to the air in one of our mailbox programs. Letter from Prague with Ian Willoughby is next. And yay, the snow has melted at last. But, well, that doesn't mean things are all good. Here's Ian.
The forecasters have been promising us temperatures of up to 16 degrees Celsius this coming week. And Czech papers and websites have been full of stories about the long winter finally being over. From January until just a few days ago, more or less, it's been unusually cold. Indeed, snowfalls in Prague at the start of the year were described as the heaviest in a full 3 decades. One consequence of the thaw that eventually followed those snows was that the streets of the city returned to their natural width. For many weeks, pedestrians in the capital experienced frequent bottlenecks, with half the pavement in some spots occupied by mounds of snow. Of course, those mounds didn't stay white for too long. They quickly turned ugly, going grey and even black in some places close to traffic. And when the piles of snow melted, what was left behind was even uglier. As a friend put it a few weeks ago, "I've just discovered that the snow in Prague is made up of cigarette butts and dog poop." One photograph in the newspaper Lidové Noviny featured a great pile of the two substances along with other junk and grit on one side of a city street. It was almost enough to put a body off his morning coffee. A local official in a part of Brno called Nový Liskovec told Lidové Noviny that the district's dog owners use 300,000 dog poop bags a year. But when it snows, they seem to lose their civic spirit, even though you'd imagine the evidence would be more visible on snow than concrete or grass. And the brown paper bags are left on their posts. "Now," said the official, "after the big thaw, the worker who operates our pooper-scooper vehicle has his hands full with work," which was perhaps not the most fortunate turn of phrase. As well as dog poo, fag ends and other detritus, a huge amount of grit was also left in the streets of many Czech cities and towns once the snow melted. When the first thaws came at the end of February, the expert view was evidently that the grit should be left in place until local authorities were reasonably certain the snow wouldn't return. But as the spring has drawn ever nearer, the question of what to do with the grit has been raised again. Cleaning it for reuse in the future is apparently more expensive than dumping it and just buying fresh grit the following winter. In any case, who cares about that now? It won't be too long before the trees are in bloom and the beer gardens are open, and great dirt-filled mounds of snow and grit are happily forgotten.
Ian Willoughby with Letter from Prague. And that brings us just about to our main feature for this day, which is Music Profile. It's our final edition of this series. You can find changes to our show at our website. That's radio.cz. So our final Music Profile this week, it was produced by Jan Richter, who looks at the music of Bute, one of the Czech Republic's most groundbreaking bands.
Na rubež vagonu hla o revírní sobotě. O benzinku můžeš mluvit, že si čuchnul k robotě. Až vytváraš po rekordu s rukami až po zem, až se špice odvezu tě policejním vozem. Tvoja fotka může viset před bezručem.
The northeastern city of Ostrava, with its mining, iron and steel industry, was once known as the steel heart of the Czech Republic. But it has also long been home to a lively art scene. The band Bute is one of the most original as well as most popular groups from the region. Bute, meaning shoes in local dialect, formed in 1986 with Radek Pastrňák as the lead vocalist and writer of most of the songs. Bute has since released 10 albums combining an innovative approach to music with the ability to record best-selling hits. The song Heitzmann Blues is a semi-serious look on the proud Ostrava miners. Vzpomeneš si, že si hrabal rock and roll a jazz. A Kuti were very well received by both fans and music critics. Relying on rock, folk, ethnic music, jazz, country and other musical styles, the band also became known for their playful and clever lyrics. By 1995, Buty sold out concerts across the country, and their album Drzewo, or Wood, from the same year, included the hit single Demaczek.
O tom, co je velká láska, asi neví vůbec nic. Někde ve vzpomínkách praská postel, nebo postel, co jsem to chtěl, poškrávej.
By the late 1990s, Buty became somehow tired of repeating their own musical formulas. Some members came and went, and in 1999, Pastrňák and co. Recorded the album Kapradí. It didn't score as high in the charts as some of the band's previous records, but it gave them new stimulus and energy. From Kapradí, this is Jedno pivo, or One Beer.
Něco by jsem se napil, daj co by jsem se já. Půjdu rovnou do hospody, posadím se tam a dám si pivo. Petrůlich mi
In 2001, Buty released one of the most original Czech pop albums ever. Called Normale, it's a play on the word Romale, or Romanese in the Roman language. The record is an ironic and very amusing homage to Ostrava's Romani community. Unfortunately, Normale was largely misunderstood. Buty used some motifs typical of gypsy music and combined them with inventive first-person lyrics in Romani slang describing their life in Ostrava. This is Laska z Bruslaku, or Love from the Ice Rink. After Normale, the band continued touring the Czech Republic and Slovakia. After a five-year gap, the band's leading personality Radek Pastrňák gathered enough material for the band's most recent album, Votom, which came out in 2006. Although none of the songs became a real hit, it was described as the essence of the band's sound and poetics. Here is Ahoj, máš hlad, or Hi, are you hungry?
You've been listening to Music Profile with Jan Richter, which brings us to the end of today's show. Don't forget you can find more news and stories at radio.cz. I'm Jan Vellinger for all of us here. Thank you for joining us and take care.
Ici Radio Prague, programme en langue française des émissions internationales de la radio tchèque Ondes Courtes. Pour bénéficier d'une agréable réception, voici la grille de nos horaires en temps universel et fréquence en kilohertz. Sept heures vingt-sept. Europe de l'Ouest, 5930. 8h30, 8h57, Europe du Sud-Ouest, Afrique du Nord-Ouest, 11600. 14h30, 14h57, Europe du Sud-Ouest, Afrique du Nord-Ouest, 11600. 17h30, 17h57, Europe de l'Ouest, 5930. 19h30, 19h57, Europe de l'Ouest, 6200, 23h, 23h57, Amérique du Nord, 5930. Nous vous invitons à l'écoute également sur le web. Pour cela, veuillez vous connecter au site www.radio.cz. Puis choisir le français en haut de la page d'accueil. Radio Prague est aussi sur le satellite. Vous trouverez toutes les informations sur notre site internet www.radio.cz.